I'm Dan Klefstad. The U.S. Senate passed a $4.6 billion emergency spending bill for the southern border. It's meant to address the humanitarian crisis and provide extra funds for border enforcement. Illinois Democrat Tammy Duckworth called the administration's treatment of detainees un-American and said the bill is necessary.
As much as I oppose what they're doing with putting people into detention centers, we do need to make sure that the folks who are there are treated in a humane way so that they have sanitary items, soap, that they can get the help, diapers for the babies, all that sort of thing.
The Senate bill follows one passed by the House, which has more specific restrictions on how the border funds can be spent. The two chambers must now iron out the differences between their bills before one can be sent to President Trump. In other news, the Illinois Pollution Control Board determined an energy company is responsible for contaminating groundwater with coal ash in four communities. Daisy Contreras has more.
Energy Energy will take responsibility for allowing coal ash to seep into the groundwater at four of its coal power plant locations in Waukegan, Joliet, Pekin, and Will County. The decision, which was made last week, was in response to a complaint filed in 2012 by several environmental groups. Andrew Rain is with the Prairie Rivers Network, one of the complainants.
This wasn't the resolution of the lawsuit, but it was a resolution of the liability question. So is NRG liable for the pollution they're causing? And the board decided that they were.
The board will now decide what steps the company should take to remedy the situation. Advocates say they will push for the removal of coal ash at those sites. I'm Daisy Contreras.
Lawyers for Brent Christensen say their client offered, after his arrest, to plead guilty and divulge where Yingying Zhang's remains were in exchange for a life sentence. Christensen faces a possible death sentence for kidnapping and killing Zhang, a visiting scholar from China. The revelation came this week after jurors convicted Christensen. Prosecutors said he abducted her at a bus stop in June 2017 and killed her in his apartment in Urbana. A statement from Zhang's family said they were made aware of the offer at the time and told prosecutors they wanted truthful information that would allow them to find the remains and bring them home to China. But they were leery of the offer because they said, quote, he had lied so many times in the past, unquote. I'm Dan Klefstad.
And I'm Jennifer Fuller. It may come as no surprise, but experts say we've just concluded a very active weather pattern for the region. The National Weather Service in Paducah says its 58-county coverage area from June 16th through the 23rd saw 115 combined tornadoes, severe thunderstorm, and flash flood warnings. That compares with 159 total severe weather warnings from October 1st through June 15th. Forecasters say that means 42% of their warnings over the last 9 months occurred during one week-long period. The heat and humidity in the forecast for the next several days will likely provide more opportunities for severe weather in the region. A new report documents the shifting landscape of manufacturing over the past 70 years and the impact on the sector in Illinois and other states. According to the findings from the Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce, nearly one in four workers in the country was employed in manufacturing back in 1940. Report co-author Neil Ridley at Georgetown says that share fell to 15% in 2000 and about 10% in 2016.
And it's been in relative decline going back well into the 20th century in relation to the rest of the workforce and the economy. Since 2000, Illinois has lost nearly 300,000 manufacturing workers with the ups and downs of the global economy.
Despite the decline, the report underscores increases in production capability, with manufacturing adding $4 trillion in economic output nationally from 1947 through 2016. I'm Jennifer Fuller.